The subject today is God has a prison as well as a paradise. God has a dungeon. Perhaps you've heard of the book by a man named Blanchard, Whatever Happened to Hell? Seems like at times, because it's out of sight and out of sermon, it's out of mind. But the answer, that hasn't gone anywhere. The doctrine of hell is biblical. It's not just the study of last things, it's the study of now. Hell is a reality right now, not just for the future. And the question comes, I think it was John Calvin, or it may have been George Whitefield, that said, can you preach this doctrine with love? That's our prayer. But the doctrine of hell is a certain leverage to reach souls, to awaken saints. Jesus spoke more on hell than anyone else. I think we better be careful. Jesus did not speak more of hell than heaven. All you have to do is look in a concordance and see that the word heaven is found many more times than hell. But he spoke more on hell than anyone else. Hell is a leverage for all of us. Perhaps you've read works by Andrew Bonner, one of my favorite saints, and have profited so much from his writings. His commentary on Leviticus is second to none. I really would encourage you to read such an opening of the gospel in Leviticus and his writings. But he was asked by one of the dignitaries in Scotland to visit a notorious murderer in prison. He had heard the man was very arrogant, unrepentant, and yet he visited him, and to no avail, and man just seemed so proud of himself and unrepentant. And the last visit that Mr. Bonner made this man, he turned around and started to walk out, and the man glibly said, "I'll see you in heaven." And Mr. Bonner turned around and said, "I'll see you at the judgment." It's not a popular doctrine. We're on the wrong side of history if we preach the doctrine of hell. There's an eternity awaiting us all. And like the old saints used to say, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But the question remains, where will you spend eternity? Remember the man back in Australia in the early 2000s on sidewalks and pavements, right? Eternity. He wanted people to know there's an eternity that we're going to spend somewhere. And there's only two places, God's prison or God's paradise. The Lord Jesus, you remember, said, "How can you escape the damnation of hell?" John the Baptist said, "Flee from the wrath to come." One of their first messages as they came on the scene. Perhaps you've read John Newton's book, The Groans of a Lost Soul, where a portal is open into Hades. And oh, if we could listen, and the Lord gives us some words from a lost soul. So I trust the Lord will bless these simple thoughts about the fact that God has a prison. First of all, hell is a real place. It's a truth. It's not a mere scare tactic. Luke 16 says, in hell, Jesus is teaching it's a real place. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. And the man even said, lest they come into this place of torment. It's a place. You remember, Peter said that Judas went to his own place, Acts 1:25. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Hell in the New Testament is the Greek word Hades. It's literally no knowledge. It's not saying that a person is sleeping. It's just that people in Hades, in hell, are unaware of earth's affairs. They're gone from society. In the Old Testament, the word is Sheol. translated grave, pit, or hell. Psalm 9 says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. It's a real place. Numbers apparently gives us a sampling of people that are there bodily, just like Enoch and Elijah give a sampling, and Jesus, of saints, people in heaven with bodies until the resurrection. We may indeed know that there are some sinners in some bodies as the ground opened. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram went down alive, we're told, into the pit, into Sheol. Proverbs 15 says, we're to depart from hell beneath. We're to discipline our children so that we may deliver their souls from hell. It's saying more than deliver their souls from death, certainly, or the grave, because even if we discipline, we're not going to keep our children from dying physically. That has to be referring to the second death. It has to be referring to something beyond death. Isaiah 14:9 says that hell from beneath was moved when this dignitary descended there. It's also called the pit, another Hebrew word in the Old Testament, translated dungeon at times. And we're to be those that go, that we're not to be like those who go down into the pit, Proverbs 1. We're to flee from the pit, 28. Ezekiel says there are those that are going down to the pit. Hell is a real place that can be measured, a place somewhere down below. Secondly, hell is filling with those who die unsaved. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Revelation says, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And so as people die without Christ, they descend into hell. Luke 16, the man is certainly representative of the dead who die without Christ. He talked about it being a place, and he was there. Jesus is teaching that lost sinners go there. John 8, Jesus told the Pharisees if they did not believe that he was deity, they would die in their sins. What a horrible thought. Think about the four deaths of Calvary. One died to sin, he was saved. One died for sin, our Lord Jesus. One died from his sins when he went to heaven. And one died in his sins and went to hell. Matthew 7, Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Hell is filling with those who die unsaved. Thirdly, hell is a temporary holding place. It's punitive. It is not rehabilitative. There's an entrance to Hades, but there's also an exit. But for now, people are going through the entrance. Bible says at the end, death and Hades shall deliver up the dead which are in them at the judgment day. And that means there's also an exit in Hades. Matthew 25, Jesus told the parable about the sheep will be on his right hand and the goats will be on his left. So they're going to exit Hades at that day. We have in all, I think all cities have holding centers, we call them. Ours is called the Erie County Holding Center. When people are arrested, they're arraigned, they're brought to the holding center before their trial, and if they're guilty, they go to a maximum security prison. But for now, they're in the holding center. Well, Hades is a holding center for the lost until they're brought before the Lord at Judgment Day. Be given their sentences and their degrees of punishment. The entrance opens immediately when someone dies. For the lost, to be absent from the body is to be present in Hades. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It seems they didn't even have a funeral before he descended into hell, perhaps before his eyelids closed. There's conscious suffering in Hades. It's physical. He talked about the flame. It's emotional. I have five brothers. Don't think that the man was evangelistic. The man was probably the oldest brother and knew he was responsible for leading them downward. And the man wasn't concerned really about whether they were going to heaven, but he was concerned mostly that they wouldn't point the finger at him when they descended into hell. Jude talks about those that suffered fire from heaven as suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Notice it's ing in Jude verse 7. It's not they're waiting to suffer. They're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That is the first installment of eternal fire is Hades. So hell is a temporary holding place. But don't think that it's not menacing and horrible. There's conscious suffering. Hell has an exit that will be open to judgment day. Once again, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's death and Hades in Revelation. Delivered up the dead which were in them. So the body and the soul were delivered up. That's speaking of the resurrection of the unjust. Both body and soul that are brought to judgment day. From what we can see in Scripture, the body is not with the soul in Hades. Just like most saints, the body is not yet with the soul until the resurrection. Hades is bodiless. But again, perhaps Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and the others are a sampling of what will take place at the end, just like Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus are a sampling of our future resurrected bodies. No one wants the exit to open in Hades. I guess, except the works righteous people, because we're told in Matthew that there are going to be some that can't wait to argue before the Lord. Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name? The self-righteous want to promote their works righteousness. They're taking the Lord's name in vain, notice. And the Lord will silence them. He will have the last word. John tells us, Jesus said, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. How can you escape the damnation of hell, Jesus said. And that's the word there, the final resting place, subsequent to Hades. So hell has an exit that will be opened at judgment day. And at the judgment day, protesters will be silenced and sentences will be pronounced. Jesus says to the works righteous, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I don't recognize you. We recognize you, Lord. I don't recognize you. I never knew you. There are degrees of punishment, we're told in the Bible. Judas, Jesus said, better that he was not born. In Matthew, Jesus said of some, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah at the day of judgment, more tolerable for them than Capernaum. That has to be referring to degrees of punishment. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shall receive the greater damnation, Jesus said. Someone might ask, what are the degrees? How do you unpack that? Bible doesn't exactly tell us, and I don't know if we want to know. Is it more heat? Is it mental memories? Is it guilt? Is it darkness? Oh, friend, it's serious. I don't want to find out. No wonder why the tears will be wiped away even of believers. And even the Pharisees would make proselytes to be more the child of hell than themselves. It seems like their converts became more pharisaical than they did. Jesus tells us, or the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. Literally, they'll pay the penalty. There will be penalties. The books were opened. Every man was judged according to his works. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, as Mr. Edwards preached. When I was hitchhiking from a tavern in Morgantown, West Virginia in 1978, just wanted to ride home. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and a man was kind to pick me up. Of course, it's dangerous to do that kind of thing. It could have been somebody that could have taken my life, but I don't know if he was a Christian or an angel. I never saw him again, but normally they would drop us off at the McDonald's that was closed for the night, and I would just walk across the path from McDonald's to my dormitory. But he said, I'll take you around the bend, and I'll drop you off in front. And I thought that was kind of him. And as I was getting out of the vehicle, he reached in the glove compartment, and being inebriated, I was a little bit concerned about what he was reaching for. But he reached for a Bible tract. And the Bible tract had some pictures in it. And it's about two brothers. One was a Christian and one wasn't. And the Christian died and went to heaven. But the lost man died. And I'd never heard this before. If I had, I don't remember it. But it shows the man standing before God at the great white throne judgment. And the question is asked, is his name in the book of life? No, no, my Lord. And the finger is pointing toward the lake of fire, and the angels take him up and hurl him into the lake of fire. That was 1978. The Lord used that to put fire under my feet. How merciful to save me from real fire. Hell will give way to a maximum security prison called Gehenna, or the Lake of Fire, or the Second Death. There's a progression of doctrines from Genesis to Revelation. There certainly is a progression of the doctrine of hell, where we find Hades and Gehenna as both translated hell, but one again is the present place called Hades, and Gehenna is the Lake of Fire. Gehenna comes from the idea of the Valley of Hinnom, where the trash heap was. It was always on fire outside the Israel's camps. Hades is bodiless and temporary, but Gehenna is body and all. For instance, Matthew 5:29, the whole body shall be cast into hell fire. That's the word Gehenna. In chapter 10, the Lord will destroy both soul and body in Gehenna, chapter 10, verse 28. It's called the Lake of Fire. Revelation 19, the beast and the false prophet, the devil himself will be cast alive into the Lake of Fire. They'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, 8. Jesus talks about it being everlasting fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And it's also called horribly the second death in Revelation chapters 20 and 21. It's the death of death, as John Owen called it. With you and me, we'll see the funeral for death. But it's just the beginning for those who die without Christ. The lake of fire only has an entrance and will be the final abode for the lost to endure their sentences. Can you imagine a place without an exit? There have been fires in our countries where one door entrance or exit was closed up, and what a horrible thing to be contained. The lake of fire only has an entrance and will be the final abode. In other words, that's it. All of the judgment who are lost will receive life sentences, but all will receive degrees of punishment. How do we describe this final abode? separation from God. Depart from me, Jesus said. Can you imagine hearing those words? From the presence of the Lord, away from his presence, 2 Thessalonians. Separation from God, the wrath of God. A fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Deuteronomy 32, 22. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 6, 16. The wrath of God. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Only Jesus has known it so far. Why hast thou forsaken me? Hell is a God-forsaken place. The wrath of God abideth and will be on them forever. Guilt. Guilt. I have five brothers. Don't let them come here. Jude tells us one of the earliest prophets you remember was Enoch. He prophesied. Not the first, but the second coming. And what happens when Christ returns? He'll convince all that are ungodly of their ungodliness. Guilt will be sure to condemn the lost. They'll feel guilt, the weight of their sin, their memory. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Oh, that we would wish if we were in hell to forget. There's pain. The fire is not quenched, Jesus said. It's interesting, the word unquenched is the word asbestos in the Greek. Where the fire is not quenched. Asbestos. I am tormented in this flame. You know, asbestos has been used in the past for gloves, and for cement, for walls. Of course, in many cases it's been banned, but it's unquenchable to a certain point. The Bible says there will be weeping in hell. There will be pain. The smoke of their torment arose forever. You know, sin will continue in hell. They'll be gnashing their teeth at God. The fearful and the unbelieving and the whoremongers and so on. And Revelation 21:1, they're still fearful, cowards. They're fearful to lose friends, to come to Christ. Fearful to lose their jobs, fearful to lose something, fearful to lose face. They'd rather keep their friends than find the friend of sinners. The fearful are still fearful. The unbelieving are still unbelieving. The abominable are still abominable. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, they'll still be sinners in hell. Him that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Disgrace, decay. Daniel has a horrible thought. They'll have shame and everlasting contempt. The worm dieth not. Perhaps that's referring to disgrace. Darkness. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Outer darkness, Matthew 25. Unrest. No rest. Day and night. A miserable society. How often you hear the lost saying, I'd rather die with a sinner than live with a saint. Perhaps you heard that song. And you hear people say, I'll see my friends in hell, but is there a society in hell? Have you ever been to a hospital and visited someone and there are two people in the same room, just a few yards apart, meters apart, and they have no interest in each other because they're both in so much pain that there's no care for each other? I've been in nursing homes where they're in so much pain and agony that they don't care for each other. There's no society in hell. Solitary confinement. Hopelessness. There's a great gulf fixed between us and you. There's no second chance in hell. Jesus did not go to Hades to taunt or to save people. When it says that Jesus descended, it's saying that in the days of Noah, he preached to people who are in hell. That's the point. Just like Jesus today, as prophet, priest, and king, ministers through the church in his same three offices. Well, prior to his incarnation, he was ministering through Noah to those who are in hell right now. There's no second chance, taught in 1 Peter 3. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, of others which have no hope. You ever been hopeless? Some say that hell is a constant sensation of falling, the bottomless pit. But we know it's everlasting, it's forever, it's eternal. There are no clocks or calendars in hell. It's eternal fire. They shall go away into everlasting punishment. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction. The smoke of their torment will arise forever and ever. You say, is this overkill, hyperbole? If we have maximum security prisons and it's just for us to execute murderers or to give them life sentences for their sins against finite creatures, what shall the punishment be against an infinite God? We have maximum security prisons. God has a maximum security prison. Oh, that we would see the seriousness of this truth. The flesh, oh, we wish for universalism. Oh, could it be? Or annihilation, anything but what the Bible describes. Oh, no. Hell is real. Hell and Gehenna may be escaped, but it's only by salvation in this life only. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. It's so serious that the Lord did not say walk, but flee. Run from the wrath to come. Time is of the essence. We're a heartbeat from hell. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They don't need miracles. They need Moses and the prophets. It's the word of God that he uses to awaken us from the dead and to flee. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But may I say the reverse? Cursed and unholy is he that has part in the second resurrection. On such the second death hath all power. Jesus, remember, friend, is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Only Jesus has power to save us from God's prison. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Christians, let us awake. Who will go salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost? Who will go for us? May God help us to say, seriously, me, and with his help, here am I, Lord, send me. Hell is real. Flee to Christ. Believers, let us all be awakened. Let us not live apathetically. Let us live for the Lord, seriously, and be warning shots to others to flee from the wrath to come. Oh, God. Help us. How do we keep this concern? We need thee, Lord, to drill these truths into our soul. Oh, that we would be more like Jesus. Oh, how he lived, how he ministered with such power and such zeal and concern. Oh, Lord, we need to be more like thee. Change us. Please help us to observe souls as those that will live somewhere forever. Pray that the devil would not steal the seed from our hearts and minds. If there's anyone listening today that is unsaved, undone, without Christ, help them to see that there's no second chance forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. May they run to thee, Lord. May they call upon you. May they be saved today. And for us, Lord, who've known what it is to be apathetic and unconcerned and materialistic and idolatrous, forgive us. Make our lives count for thee. May we not just take up space. We need thee, Lord. Revive us. Bless your word. May it not return void. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.